One. Welcome on in, folks, to ESPN West Palm today. As always, I am your host, Mike Rizzo. And bringing back, folks, we're bringing back a special friend of the program, been on with us numerous times. It is accident attorney Charlie Cartwright from Gonzalez and Cartwright. Now, listen, I still haven't forgiven him for the big win for Miami over Ohio State. I'm still a little sick about that. He's a Squealer fan. Oh, wait, no, a Steeler fan, too. So we'll get into that fun stuff a little later on. But Charlie, obviously, is an accident attorney. He's seeing a lot of stuff when it comes to accidents, specifically in cars right now. But before we get into all that, I want to welcome on into the program. Charlie, how are you today, partner? Great to have you on again.
I'm good. Hope you're well. Now, I mean, the way you said Squealer, don't tell me you're a Browns.
Oh, Charlie, come on. Don't tell me you forgot him from Cleveland, Ohio, and went to the fine university of The Ohio State University now.
Oh, I knew you went to The Ohio State University and not the U, but I didn't realize you were.
Yeah, Cleveland, Ohio native,
bro. My condolences. I must have forgotten. Hey, how does Shador look? Tell me,
Do you want the skinny? My father does radio and TV in Cleveland, and the skinny is Deshaun Watson looks the best he's ever looked in a Browns uniform in OTAs. That comes from Tony Grossi, who's been covering the team for about 40 years up there. So apparently it's Deshaun Watson's job to lose, Charlie.
Isn't that kind of like saying, well, DJ Uiagalelei looked better at Oregon
Correct.
State than he did at
Correct.
Florida
now,
State?
Charlie, you don't have a perch to sit on being a Steeler fan, all right? I could argue that you got
Aaron
a worse
Rogers,
quarterback
baby.
Group. Oh,
Aaron Rogers
stop it.
Back.
Stop it. You don't even believe that. You don't even believe that, Charlie.
We're going to start working on the other hand for rings now.
Yeah, you don't even believe that. But like I said, Charlie, great friend of show, Steeler and Kane guy. We'll get into all that a little later on. But Charlie, lately, you know, we've been seeing on the roads and with these cars having all these great safety features, being able to protect drivers and protect people out on the roads maybe from some drivers. But, Charlie, we're still seeing accidents up, specifically here in South Florida. Now, Charlie, I call the Inter-Miami games. I do the play-by-play. Every time I drive down to new stadium in Miami, I see an accident and I see people in trouble in a car. Why, with all the features, with all the safety stuff around in 2026, why do you think that this is still a huge thing, specifically in the South Florida area?
Well, and it's not specific to South Florida. It's everywhere. We are so glued to our phones now and our devices now that most of it is distracted driving. We're seeing a lot of distracted driving in the cases that we're getting when our clients come in. And, you know, what's happening, I mean, people are watching videos, they're, you know, scrolling through their Spotify on their phone or whatever it is that they're doing. I mean, how many times have you been at a light lately where the light turned green and nobody goes and then somebody honks their horn and finally somebody goes? It happens way more frequently now because everybody's looking at their phone every chance they get. They're addicted to these phones. And so we're seeing a lot of distracted driving cases. So, you know, what does that mean? Well, there's no way for the participants in an accident to document distracted driving because they can't see into the car. They can't really see what the guy in the car is doing. They're not looking for that. They're looking for traffic. They're looking for the lights. They're looking for street signs. So you're not seeing that. And there's no way to know that. But we end up finding out later on, especially in litigation, that there's either data use, text use, or telephone use where it's actually a call. And, you know, as a lawyer, we can get those things once we're in litigation, and that is important. And that's why we're seeing these accidents. It's distracted driving. I can't stress enough to your listeners, if you're in the car, you know, put down the phone. Put down the phone and don't use it. And we're going to cure a lot of these accidents.
Charlie Cartwright from Gonzalez and Cartwright Accident Attorneys is our guest. Folks, for more information, GonzalezCartwright.com. You get free case evaluations right there on the website, and all their information is ready to go for you. Now, Charlie, specifically with the distracted driving, you mentioned the phones. Could it maybe even be something more than that? Like, I understand social media and everything is such a big thing, but outside of the phones and the distracted driving, what else have you maybe seen in cases that you have recently been evaluating when it comes to accidents here in the South Florida area? And as you mentioned, these accidents happen everywhere. Is there anything other than distracted driving that maybe you're dealing with right now being an accident attorney?
Well, the other thing that we're dealing with, and, you know, everybody's dealing with, is, you know, we're talking about prices, we're talking about inflation, things like that. And where do people go and they start to try and cut corners a little bit? And we're seeing it a lot with insurance. And we've talked about this before. If you're a driver in South Florida, you know, you really need to make sure that your insurance policy coverage includes uninsured motorist coverage. And why is that important to you? If you're stopped at a traffic light and there are three other cars around you, four of you stopped at the traffic light, look around. One of those four people doesn't have insurance. One in four, and it's actually higher than that. It's between 25% and 30% of Florida drivers are uninsured. So it's slightly higher than one in four. But one of those drivers is uninsured. If that's the driver that hits you and you end up with $35,000 in hospital bills because this guy didn't have auto insurance, you're the one paying that. The guy that doesn't have auto insurance probably doesn't have any assets that you can collect on because he can't afford the auto insurance. How can he afford to pay a judgment to you? So that guy's the one that hits you. There's a one in four chance that the guy who hits you doesn't have insurance. And so that's why I encourage anybody living in South Florida, get uninsured motorist coverage, because uninsured motorist coverage is the only coverage on your policy that protects you. Your PIP protects the doctors and the hospitals. Your property damage and bodily injury protects the other guy's car and the other guy's bodily injury and hospital bills, and your collision protects your car. Uninsured motorist coverage is the only coverage that protects you and your body and your health and your work and your employment and your income. You need to have that coverage in Florida, because if you get the one out of four, you know, then you're going to end up with a bunch of hospital bills and no way to pay them.
Folks, this is Charlie Cartwright from Gonzalez & Cartwright Accident Attorneys. Once again, to kind of cover what we've covered so far, you know, make sure your insurance covers uninsured drivers. God forbid something happens and something happens to you, you end up in the hospital, you're going to have a big hospital bill if that's not the case. And folks, get off the phones. It could wait. Get off the phones. And I agree with Charlie, being on 95, making that an hour 15, hour 30, sometimes 2 hour drive to Miami from West Palm, it's insane how many people are on their phones on the highways. So appreciate Charlie coming on and shedding light on that.
I saw a guy in a Tesla.
Yeah.
One of those Tesla pickup trucks. I can't remember what they're called.
Cyber trucks, right?
Cyber truck. Yep. Exactly. And so I'm in like the left lane, but not the HOV lane. This guy's in the middle lane next to me, and I look over at him, and he had to have that the self-driving car. He's got his tablet in his hands, resting his hands on the steering wheel, and he's reading through his tablet, and he's never looking up at the traffic. Jeez. Driving down 95. And now I get he has the self-driving, but, you know, I would appreciate it as the guy next to him if he'd pay a little bit of attention to the road. But I got to ask you this, because I want to make sure it's not me. Have you also experienced more often now than previously where you're sitting at the light changes, and people don't go because whatever reason? It used to be like light change, people went. Now it's light change. Yep. You wait. Somebody honks their horn and they go. Are you seeing that more often?
No, Charlie,
too,
so it's...
Me having a get off my lawn moment?
No, it's not. It's not your get off your lawn moment. And I'll even give West Palm a specific intersection. So my apartment complex down here is I go Congress to Okeechobee. And if anybody has ever turned left from Congress onto Okeechobee, they know how short that left-handed turn signal is and how long it takes to see that left-handed turn signal. Charlie, once a week, I don't make that light because I'm the third or fourth guy in the back and the person in front isn't going. It's absolutely insane. And, like, listen, I've driven in Chicagoland area, which where there are crazy drivers. I've driven now in Florida, which there are crazy drivers. I don't think I'm an impatient guy, but when the light turns, you go. And especially, you got to have the know-how on a light like that when it's not going to change for another 5 minutes and people are trying to get to work. I completely agree with you. I completely and 100% agree with you.
Can you say that intersection again? I got to look into
Congress and Okeechobee. Congress and Okeechobee. You're taking a left. You're taking a left.
And Okeechobee.
Yep. And when you get on Okeechobee, Charlie, when you get on Okeechobee, you're almost to the Okeechobee Bridge going into downtown. It is one of the most godforsaken lights in West Palm. It's 5 to 6 minutes. I time it. If you just miss that left-hand turn, it's 5 to 6 minutes to turn left. And that's usually how long it takes me to get to work if I catch that light. So, listen, should I leave maybe for work a little earlier? Probably, Charlie. But when someone's on their phone, I'm going to be a little upset about it.
I get it. It is nerve-wracking. It is frustrating. We've got one of those intersections here in Lake Worth as well that has a very short left turn signal. And I go through that probably one morning a week where somebody's not paying attention and they miss it. So.
But folks, once again,
put your phones down.
Yeah, put the phones down. Gonzalez at Cartwright.com. You can do a free case evaluation. God forbid something happens. They've recovered over $100 million for their clients. And Charlie, a very experienced attorney down here in South Florida. Now, I mentioned Charlie is a Canes and Steeler fan. He's originally from Ohio. He's a Youngstown guy. I don't let him forget that and his Buckeye roots. But let's start with the Canes because I started the interview off, Charlie. I still can't believe Ohio State lost that game. I still can't believe the Canes went on that magical run to the national championship. But, partner, I don't know if you remember our past interviews. I told you Miami had the talent to beat anybody. And when they were stubbing their toe against SMU, Louisville at home, you know, I was saying if they make that tournament, if they make the college football playoff, they have the talent to beat anybody. And lo and behold, they beat Ohio State, and they took Indiana down to a final drive where Carson Beck threw the interception. Now, Charlie, as a Cane man, as a graduate from the University of Miami, has the standard officially changed, and is Mario Cristobal the guy moving forward for Miami in your eyes?
Well, I don't think there's any question that Mario's the guy moving forward. I think with Miami, though, you have to look at it. Mario's the right guy, and don't get me wrong, but I don't know how their front office works and how they manage things at Miami. But what you don't see at Miami is a lot of people transferring out, going to another place, trying to get more money, what have you. I mean, the kids stay. Like this Mensa kid that, you know, got out of Duke to come to Miami, he's staying. You look at, you know, Vaughn, the transfer wide receiver they got, I think from South Carolina. Jacobs is another one. Carter from Ohio State. You know, Vaughn right now is third on the depth chart. He's transferred in to be third on the depth chart. Jacobs transferred in. He's second on the depth chart. I mean, these guys aren't leaving. You've got, you know, Fletcher, Lyle, Brown, Pringle, Wheatley Humphrey in the running back room. They add JV and Mallory, but you never heard Fletcher talking about transferring or going into the portal. You never saw Lyle going into the portal. Brown came, he's staying. Pringle's staying. We're not seeing the kids transfer out now either. So I think in addition to Mario, whatever they're doing essentially in the front office, whatever they're going to call it nowadays in college, they're doing a great job there keeping people, bringing people in, not giving expectations that, you know, would cause an immediate movement or a transfer out. It's, you know, from top to bottom. Yes, the standard has changed, and yes, it seems the culture has changed.
And you're right, Charlie. It was wrong to say, is Mario the guy? I guess the point I was trying to make is that standard back. And we've heard Mario talk so much about how Miami needs to get back to being Miami. Miami needs to get back to being a top program in the country. I know it was only 1 year, Charlie, but it seems like Mario has delivered on that promise. Am I wrong?
Oh, I think you're right about that. But I also think if you ask Mario, is Miami back? I think Mario is going to answer you, well, what does that mean? You know, because he's trying to make something new. I don't think he cares about getting back. I think he wants to win a championship. I think he's made the standard at Miami now, again, national championship or bust, which is what it was throughout the 80s, the early 90s, and the early 2000s. It's national championship or bust. I think he's got to win an ACC championship.
And then, Charlie, quickly, to cut you off, that's where I was going next. I, honest to God, partner, I still can't believe that's a thing. Like, I still cannot believe that mighty Miami. And Charlie, listen, I'm 31 years old. I remember the Larry Coker teams. I remember 02. I remember 01. I mean, those were some of the best college football teams of all time. It's insane to think that a program like Miami hasn't won that conference. I got to think that that's bulletin board material for Mario this year.
It's got to be bulletin board material. And look, if not this year, I don't know when you win it. I mean, they used to talk about, you know, Ryan Day getting to the big game and winning the big game, and he won it last year. Or in 2025.
Yeah, he got two monkeys off his back.
Yeah. 24 season.
Brother, he got the championship off his back and the Michigan thing off his back, but I understand
the Michigan thing off his back. And so I think that, you know, the ACC thing, who's got momentum in the ACC right now? Other than Miami, nobody really does. Clemson was 7-6 last year. Florida State, they're taking a couple years off until they can get out of the Norvell contract.
Yep.
Virginia Tech's brought in a new coach. I'm sure he's going to do a great job. He's a great coach. The guy from Penn State.
James Franklin.
But you know, North Carolina's down. Everybody's down in the, maybe Pitt's up, maybe Georgia Tech's up, but Georgia Tech lost Haynes King, their star quarterback, which, dude, the guy ran like a 4.4 something at the combine.
Yep.
Haynes King, crazy talent. But this is the year. Miami is absolutely loaded on offense. They will be better on offense this year than they were on offense last year. Many people are predicting them to go back to the offense from 2 years ago as far as scoring when they had Cam Ward. They're certainly they should be more consistent than they were with Cam Ward because they didn't have the talent around Cam that they've got around Mensa this year. I mean, they've got an incredible amount of talent around Mensa this year. You know, the offensive line's a question mark because they're bringing in new guys, but at least Mensa's a little more mobile than Beck, so the offense should be better. The defensive backfield should be as good as or better than last year. And, you know, the worry is the defensive line when you lose, you know, Mezador and Bain. How do you replace those guys? But, you know, they've got guys coming back, guys that were 4 stars and 5 stars when they recruited them that are now no longer freshmen. They're sophomores and redshirt sophomores. And everybody's talking big. So, the standard is that if Mario doesn't win the ACC this year, it's got to be written up as that's embarrassing.
Yeah. Now, Charlie, the schedule, I mean, at Clemson and at Notre Dame, those are the tough games. I know Florida State stinks. I know Norvell is on borrowed time. That's a home game, though. I totally agree with you that if it doesn't happen this year, you really start scratching your head. But we've seen Mario in years past, you know, the game they didn't take a knee, the home game versus Louisville. I chalked that up more to Beck personally, Charlie, and the awful throws. Mm-hmm. And then the SMU game, God, that awful penalty. What was it, Charlie? It was the unsportsmanlike conduct. The play was over. The game was over. I just sit there and you go, wow, what needed to go wrong went wrong for Miami in that conference, but everything was made up for. Charlie, the beautiful thing about college football now, look at Ohio State. Look at the Buckeyes. They haven't won that conference, and I'm losing my mind over it, Charlie, because I'm a traditionalist. You know me. We haven't won that conference since 2019. We have a national championship. Like, that's the updated college football to where you could get away with losing two games, not winning your conference, and getting hot at the right time and possibly winning a championship.
True. But when you talk about the Louisville game, the Louisville game was on Beck. Beck decided, I think it was a Friday night game. It was the only game on TV. And, you know, I've since forgiven him for this, but Beck tried to win the Heisman that night and was trying to make all kinds of passes that you had to be basically Tom Brady crossed with Terry Bradshaw to make the pass. And that's how he ended up with all those interceptions. And that's why they lost that game. Then they had the SMU game, and anybody who watched the SMU game will tell you that, yeah, I know at least one of the interceptions weren't Beck's fault. It hit the guy in the chest. I think it was the kid from Miami who subsequently transferred to NC State, Trader.
Yep.
Hit him in the chest and bounced off his chest into the hands of the SMU guy. But anybody who watched that game and doesn't say Miami came out flat in that game. They were flat. They were flat the whole game, and they put themselves in a position where they had to get lucky to win. But also, the offensive coordinator changed his tactics after that SMU game. All of a sudden, he started coaching like, I got nothing to lose. And then, if you remember, I can't remember, I think it was Stanford. They were playing Stanford, and they played a lackluster first half in that game, and it was like 14-7. Or 7-7 or something crazy like that late in the first half, and then they started using Tony the way they should have been using Tony all along. And then the rest of the season is just, you know, points everywhere,
yep,
plays everywhere, Malachi Tony playing like a Heisman Trophy candidate. In other words, if Malachi Tony's last five games were the same as the first seven games, he would have been right. He would have been in New York with everybody else.
I agree. And Charlie, to your point about
that changed, and that's how they got to where they are. And so hopefully the offensive coordinator and Mario, and I give credit to Mario, he learns as he goes. I mean, we talk about all the bonehead things, but he figures out how to fix them and move forward and not make the same mistake again.
And Shannon,
hopefully they learned a lesson, and we'll see an offense this year that's more reflective of the last five games last year and the playoffs than the first seven games. But that Notre Dame game, how that game is not the most interesting game of the season next year, I don't know. Yeah, you can't tell me one that's going to be more interesting.
It's at Notre Dame, and obviously Notre Dame going into the season got a lot of unfinished business in their minds with the Canes finishing over them in the playoff conversation. And I personally never thought, and Charlie, I don't think we've talked about this. It was always Miami to get in. They won head-to-head. That needs to mean something. The regular season needs to mean something. Now, partner, I can't stand Notre Dame, even though I love Marcus Freeman and his services that he had for Ohio State from 04 to about 08. But at the same time, head-to-head needs to mean something, and I was happy that the committee made the right decision. And quickly on Shannon Dawson, that offensive coordinator from Miami, you were right. After that SMU game, 38-41, 34-38 to end the season. They scored 31 points against Ole Miss and 24 points against Ohio State. Charlie, the 24 points against Ohio State, that was the most points any offense scored against that historic defense all season long.
The offense only scored 17. We can't forget that, the missed block.
But still, Charlie, that's an Ohio State. You know me. All right, the one thing I held my head high on, no team scored more than 16 points on that team all year long. Even the Indiana game where they shot themselves in the foot with the red zone. Oh, don't even get me started on that. But 13 points, Fernando Mendoza in that high-powered offense. So I think the Canes should hold their head high. And if you're a Cane fan out there, absolutely tremendous season last year. And I'm with Charlie. All gears forward on an ACC championship and a bye in the college football playoff next year. Once again, Charlie Cartwright is our guest here on ESPN West Palm today. Go to GonzalezandCartwright.com. Charlie is an accident attorney for the fantastic Gonzalez and Cartwright. They've recovered over $100 million for their clients. And a couple of things we talked about earlier, folks. Make sure you have that insurance on your insurance plan that covers uninsured drivers to keep yourself safe and get off of the phones. Get off of the phones, South Florida. Now, Charlie, last thing here before I let you go. And listen, I appreciate all the time, partner. We joked around earlier about the Browns and the Steelers. Now, you don't even believe that Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback anymore, right? This is a throwaway year for the Steelers. Am I wrong on this? Mike Holmgren, new head coach. Mike Tomlin. I think Steeler fan Charlie is about to find out how good Mike Tomlin was for all these years this year.
We're definitely going to find out how good Mike Tomlin was, but I watch every, I get the NFL ticket. I watch every Steeler game and, you know, look, of course I'm comparing him to Justin Fields and Russell Wilson and Mason Rudolph, who I've seen play quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger left. Aaron Rodgers is still a pretty darn good quarterback.
Come on, Charlie, you don't believe that. You don't believe that at this point.
Well, compared to what I've seen from my other quarterbacks, I mean, he's definitely better than Justin Fields.
To be fair, Charlie,
Rudolph.
You don't know what Will Howard is. We give a Will Howard, give the Buckeye a chance, no?
Oh, they're saying all kinds of nice things about Will Howard in Pittsburgh, by the way. They want him to be the backup next year. He was injured last year. They want him to be the backup quarterback this year, and they're saying so far so good with him that you know, Mason Rudolph may be the odd man out, and it could end up being, you know, your boy from Ohio State. So Will Howard, I would love that, but look, Aaron Rodgers, what you notice about Aaron Rodgers is how accurately the ball's thrown. And I haven't seen that. And look, I mean, Ben was never known for his accuracy either. But Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback they've had in Pittsburgh since probably 2 years before Ben retired. Because if you recall, at the end of Ben's career, he couldn't throw the ball more than 30 yards.
Correct.
That's what I'm comparing him to. It's, you know, unfortunately, I haven't gotten to see a real quality quarterback that can lead you in the playoffs in a very long time. I'm not sure Aaron Rodgers is that guy anymore. I will give you that. But compared to what I've seen the past 5 years, he looks really good to me.
Yep. Now, Charlie, partner, I appreciate all the time. Always such a great guest here on ESPN West Palm today. Truly enjoy our conversations about Canes and football. Partner, here's to us not meeting next year till the national championship. Does that sound good? The Buckeyes and the Canes. I don't want to see it till the national championship game. Is that fair?
That would be great. I would love to see it. Go Canes. That would truly be a revenge game.
Yeah. Now there you'd be able to. Now, Charlie, everyone forgets about the holding call that Miami had in the fourth quarter that should have been holding and ended the game for Ohio State. But I agree with you. Two big missed calls, specifically the pass interference in the end zone and the non-holding call that would have ended the game in regulation.
Yeah, and the fact that they intentionally took out Willis McGahee's knee. But, you know, I mean, that's just dirty Ohio State play.
Ah, Charlie, you're killing me. Guys, once again, that's Charlie Cartwright from Gonzalez & Cartwright Accident Attorneys. Once again, GonzalezandCartwright.com. Folks, they got free case evaluations on the website. They've recovered over $100 million for their clients. Get off the phones and make sure your insurance covers uninsured drivers. Charlie, thanks so much for the time, partner. Truly awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good day. Appreciate it.
We're coming right back on ESPN West Palm today.